Beloved, throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus heals and then prays at some length, including today in the wilderness. Lent begins in the wilderness. What did Jesus pray, and how long, and for how long? Was his prayer attendant upon his healings, or caught up only with his pending decision to itinerate? Where was this that he went? What did he wear? Did he kneel? Is this history or theology in Mark 1? There is a strong argument to be made that we really know very little about Jesus, including about how he prayed, about how he struggled in the wilderness. James Sanders once gave us a list of 8 things we could know about Jesus, one of which was that he died on a cross, and the others of which were not much more startling. Norman Perrin wrote, "This material had a long history of transmission, use, and interpretation in the early Christian communities, and when it reached the hand of Mark, any element of historical reminiscence had long been lost. The Gospel of Mark is narrative proclamation." Yet this scholarly sobriety hardly slakes our curious spiritual thirst. We long to see Jesus, to see him more clearly, love him more dearly, follow him more nearly, day by day. So we want to know. We want to know about Jesus as much as we can. When you love someone, you want to know them, root and branch, hook, line, and sinker. Every Christian in every time has known this desire, and we listen for and to him today. We listen for his word, to his word today. For his is a saving word, even in the hands of very human, very fallible preachers and congregations and churches and denominations and religions. As one great scholar and dear friend has carefully argued, Theodore Whedon, Mark, not Jesus now, nor the early church now, but Mark, has an axe to grind. Ted, my predecessor in our Rochester church, his 17 years preceding our 11, died earlier this year. How we shall miss him. His work, though, carries on, as does yours, as does ours. And here it is, Ted's thought of Mark. Jesus was powerful, but crucified. Christian life will involve glory, but also pain. Jesus was not only a wonder worker whose demons could celebrate or denigrate, he also became a Messiah who disappointed his disciples to the point of Peter's choosing betrayal. I never knew him. Jesus died on a cross toward which he chooses to itinerate. And like all humans, Christians suffer, at least to some degree. Mark may want firmly to teach his generation that hurt is tragically a part of the walk of faith. Nero's persecution may lie in the background. The Jewish war may lie in the foreground. Regardless, this gospel is about resolute discipleship. To be a Christian means to know how and why and when you must, to be resolute, to pull up your socks, to be resolute. For this morning, we have some very good news. We have ancient good company in Mark. The writer's community finds themselves at the beginning of the 8th decade, Anno Domini, faced with a crisis of faith. 40 years have passed since Easter morning. The eschatological age has not dawned. The joys of the kingdom are still only dreams. Mark's church is beset by suffering. The focus of his spiritual reflection, then, is on the struggling life, even the suffering life of, with, for Jesus. Some, by example, show us this. There have been some heroes and heroines among us making the case for resolute discipleship in what they say and how they live for some time. One such who comes to mind come February, and our remembrances of February, and come Lent, and our remembrances in Lent, is Marion Wright Edelman, now 84 years old. She must pray. She must. Otherwise, how would she have the discipline to stay on the trail for children for so many years, so many decades? She wrote once to and for her students, quote, "I want to convey a vision to you today as you move into an ethically polluted nation, in a world where instant sex without responsibility, instant gratification without effort, instant solutions without sacrifice, getting rather than giving, and hoarding rather than sharing, are the frequent messages and signals of our mass media, popular culture, and political life." In other words, this particular walk in faith, which you choose, your personal walk of faith, means that you will not always be appreciated. This walk means that you will be required to be kind to those who do not afford you the same courtesy. This walk means that you will daily get name tags thrust upon you that are total misspellings. You may die a hero's death and have your name misspelled in the paper. Jesus in Mark 1 begins in the wilderness, and his beginning has one single outcome: the strength to take a hard path. Dr. Jarrett, help us to understand and to conceive the meaning of today's beautiful cantata.
The resolve to take the hard path hits home. The high road, as my dad would have said, you have to take the high road. Whatever you do, it must be with a clean conscience beyond reproach. The hard path, the high road. It may not be the most expedient, and it may not feel the best in the moment, but there's no doubt that it's only the high road for you. The hard path, the high road. Bach found himself at a crossroads in the early 1720s. His first wife had died while he was away on a trip, and he came home with his employer after traveling and found her having fallen ill, died, and already buried. He had had several jobs, like many of us would have, and he was thinking about what was next for him. And there was a little squabble with his employer that may be familiar to squabbles that we might have with our employers, who knows. But he finds himself in 1723 applying for a job in Leipzig, and the job that he would remain in for the balance of his life. And for this job, the town councilors send him a text, and it's the text for the day, which is not unlike this moment in Mark. It's in Luke for Bach, chapter 18, and the earthly ministry is about to come to a close, as we know in hindsight. Jesus has discerned in the wilderness his 40 days and has decided this itinerant journey, this traveling around of the healing, this has been a good thing, but it's time now. We're going to Jerusalem, and the things that have been written about the Son of Man must be accomplished. The disciples, they don't understand this. They say, sure, we'll go. That's fine. But don't you want to go back over here and do some more miracles? That was really fun. Don't you want to go back to Mount Tabor, where you talked with Elijah and Moses? That was amazing. That was last Sunday, by the way, the Transfiguration. Wednesday, we had Ash Wednesday, so we're now in Lent. But last week I was writing about a Christmas carol that we sang in January. The road is changing. The path is new. And which song will you sing? The psalmist from today, from Psalm 25, tells us that all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. Not all the paths, but all the paths of the Lord. And he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Bach finds this text from Luke, and he says, well, I understand that. I understand the disciples. I understand that they don't understand which way I should go. But I am ready. Ich bin bereit. Wohl mir. Happy me. I will do it. I can take it on. I know. I'm not going to be like the disciples. I have hindsight, and I know that the hard path is the one I'm supposed to take, and sometimes the Christian life is hard. Sometimes there's disappointment. The way of the cross ultimately leads home. I know that song. The way of the cross leads home. But sometimes that's the old song. Bach's text, the chorale, in the middle of the chorale, which is written by Elizabeth Kreutziger, a colleague of Martin Luther's in the 1520s, she says, chasten the old man in us so that the new can be born. But I like the old man. I know that song. I know the old song. I'm more prepared for that. Wouldn't you like that one? Canticum Novo, sing a new song unto the Lord. I'm not ready for that one yet. What if that path, the new song or the high road, scars more than the easier, more expedient path that will just cut right to it? Not so. The high road. In the central aria, which is, it's not an aria, it's a recitative that Craig Jerica will sing, the libretto puts right in the center the Transfiguration, Tabor, this side with Golgotha on this side. Which path will you take? Which way will you look? Hindsight tells us we will, of course, choose the way of the cross and we will go to Golgotha. And Craig will do that, we hope, in a few moments. And then Patrick, tenor, will come forward and he'll sing, I'm ready with that path. My all in all. Jesus is my treasure, my all in all. And I'm not only ready for that path tomorrow to take a new job in Leipzig or to choose to go to Ash Wednesday and to take on a Lenten journey, but when that moment comes, I will depart in peace, in Friede. And I will chasten the old man and awaken the new man to sing the new song unto the Lord. All of this is in about 17 minutes of music from Bach. And if he had not chosen that path in 1723, we may never have known the miracle of that 16 minutes from Bach and from the body of material that he left behind for us. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. Teach me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Beloved, as the music and its beauty this day overtake us, let us pause and consider how we will live out the deep river truths of existence. How will we combat daily, hourly, the remaining, even growing desocialization flowing out of COVID still? People became desocialized during COVID. Nor is the church nor our church people exempt here. How will we live down life's opposition, however we understand it? Have we truly intuited the brevity of life? Have we really absorbed the capacity we have as humans to harm one another? Have we faced the dualism of decision that is the marrow of every Sunday, of every prayer, of every service, of every sermon? Are we ready to make a break for it? Are we ready to live, ready to discover freedom in disappointment, grace in dislocation, love in departure? Are we set to place one hand in that of the Spirit and the other hand in that of the divine presence? May it be so. May it be so. And so we pray a wilderness prayer. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast led, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray, lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee, lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. Amen.